May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. The Christian faith is full of symbols that you can touch, feel, smell, and taste. The waters of baptism, that first moment when people are welcomed into our community. They welcome us in. They are the sustaining force of life, and yet they are also very powerful. Carve valleys, carve the face of our geography all over. It's a powerful symbol. The oil we use for anointing at baptism and for healing, it was an element used in the anointing of kings in the Old Testament, another powerful symbol. There is the bread and wine which we share each Sunday, sustenance for our spiritual journey. And then there are ashes, a reminder of our own mortality as we enter the Lenten season. Now, we can dry off water. We can dab away oil. No one sees what or if we've consumed anything at this table once we walk out of the church doors. Yet ashes are harder to hide. I find it odd, I find it somewhat ironic that on the day our religious symbols become most visible to the outside world, we get this warning from the mouth of Jesus himself. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. What are we supposed to make of this symbol? What is it actually meant to communicate to us, to the world around us? Now, the Christian faith is full of seemingly contradictory images. It may be helpful to look more deeply at these images so that we understand what we are about today, this Ash Wednesday. Whoever wants to be great among you, Jesus said, must be your servant. Whoever desires to be first must be last. God has chosen the foolish things to shame the wise, the weak over the strong, the margins over positions of wealth and status. During Lent, we enter the time in our church year where we try to focus most deeply on that crucial element of the Christian faith, the great reversal at the core of Christ's life. The fact that out of death, God can bring forth life. Out of failure, God remains faithful to God's promises. Even in the midst of despair, God can burst forth with hope abundant. Ashes, you see, are not here merely as a reminder of our passing life, of death. Ashes are here as a reminder of whom our life belongs to, whom our ultimate happiness and well-being rest upon. And that reminder poses a challenge to all the other things we put our trust in, all the other allegiances in our life, which claim to provide us with a kind of life that only comes from God. Remember that you are dust, we will say in just a bit, and to dust you shall return. A stark statement about human frailty, but also a reminder of our utter dependence on a loving God who formed us out of that very dust, molded our very being out of the fabric of space and time. As we journey deeper into the mystery that is Christ's life, death, and resurrection, I wonder what it would look for us to let go of some of those things which usually assure us of our place in the world, our value, in order to more deeply grasp the true source of our innate worth. The God who is the beginning and end of all our efforts, the life abundant which awaits for us, we should be willing to risk everything in order to follow after that. Now, there are some well-established practices which some choose to take up during Lent, fasting, practices of self-denial and charity, prayer practices. But there is no one way to participate, no cookie cutter recipe for how to do it right, even if you haven't had the time to think about it just now. However, maybe especially if this is the first moment this week where you've had time to sit and pause for a second, I would like to invite you to try at least one thing this Lent. One practice that challenges you, not simply to abstain from something which you enjoy, but to sink more deeply into a life with God and the people to whom God has chosen to make life together. Now, you may choose to abstain from certain foods or social media or something else altogether that has nothing to do with those two. And whatever it is, that is all well and good, but be sure to remember that the goal is not to prove that we are worthy, as if it were a mere exercise in meeting some impossible cultural standard of excellence or beauty or value. The goal is to focus our attention on the God who made us and the work that God is calling each of us to do. A deeper awareness of where true joy comes from. A deeper awareness of where the real meets our life and our life together. If you choose to abstain from something, take time to see where else God's joy breaks forth in your life. If you choose to take up something, say, for example, a new habit of prayer, don't get lost in shame and regret if you find that you've missed a day, or it's harder than you thought it would be, or the task becomes difficult as you go along. Simply follow through to the next day. Keep going. God loves you more than you will ever know. You see, the goal is not to become a better person. Rather, the goal is to understand more deeply what it means to be a real person, made in the image of a loving God whose life has meaning and purpose in the here and now. It is you, not somebody else, but you in all your mess and brokenness and whatever else is there, that God is calling out of complacency and into new life right now. May we be blessed with the grace necessary to observe a Holy Lent and to follow God into uncharted territory, wherever God wills to lead us. Amen.